This is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. We are all now living through a difficult time. More than ever, we are being called to turn toward the light of Christ and to follow Him. So our work doesn't stop. In fact, it's more important than ever. Please consider making a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, between now and Divine Mercy Sunday, April 19th, to help support our efforts to offer spiritual guidance, love, and hope to the world. Thank you from all of us at Discerning Hearts, and God bless. Discerning Hearts now brings you, during this Lenten season 2020, which is occurring during the global coronavirus pandemic, a daily reflection by Monsignor John Essiff. Over the course of the next 30 minutes or so, he will reflect in the beginning on the scriptures of the day, and then we will have a conversation about what is occurring in the world, in the church, and in our own personal lives. We now present Monsignor John Essiff.
Okay.
There we go. Good morning, Monsignor. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. The wonderful streak.
Yeah.
We got many days of wonderful. That's good.
I'm just grateful. Grateful for this time with you. Grateful for the way each day begins.
Oh, well, I'm grateful too.
Grateful to be alive right now. Thank God.
You know,
I heard from a priest last night from California, and he's using these podcasts as an encouragement. And I really believe that I just feel significant and important to people. So I'm just very happy that I can be that for my brothers and sisters.
Good, Monsignor. I'm glad. Praise God. Praise God. That's a gift. It's a
gift
that the Father. It's a gift that the Father has provided for you, me, for everybody out there. So we're very blessed to have this.
It has its downsides, as anything, as any cross does, but the coronavirus is not just a wake-up call. It's a tremendous opportunity for each of us to examine ourselves as Christians. And since I'm a Christian and I'm a Catholic priest, it's a tremendous opportunity for each of us to examine ourselves. And I would put it down as a great examination of conscience, opportunity for each of us. Yes.
You know, Monsignor, it's starting to happen for me, and I'm sure it's probably happening for many out there. I'm beginning to hear from friends that it's really hard now, because I'm hearing from friends around the country who have either been greatly exposed and are now in isolation, scared because they're anticipating what may happen in the next 2 weeks as they're waiting for a virus to kind of emerge in their body. And it may or may not, they don't know, but the anxiety of that, the fear for them. And I've also heard of a friend who has lung issues, a good man, and he now has been taken to the hospital with COVID-19, and he has lung issues, and and his wife is also ill, and I think we're all beginning to hear the stories because the numbers are increasing, and it may or may not have affected us yet. But it's starting to hit us in the periphery, and it's the reality of it all. It's stunning. It's not just going into quarantine. It's the reality of the pain and the suffering.
Yes, and the dead. There are 414 now, as yesterday, but that will increase, I'm sure. And thousands who are affected by it, as you are touching some of them, and I am too. And then I know a worker who's somebody who takes care of the sick, and doctors, and caretakers, and hospitals. They're feeling it now, and that they need our prayer. See, it's still out there, but for some of us, it's in here. And where that is, and where it is touching deeply within ourselves, it's very important as how to see myself, and for you each to see himself or herself with this facing of death, because it is a killer. The sickness is another reality, and the death, and then the unemployment, and the need that we want and to have for care of our families and each other. And some of the things that you find, the keeping distance from one another, it's unnatural not to touch, not to, I want a handshake. I want to embrace. I want to kiss, but I'm not close to. And you can't. This is not a natural state that we have asked, that we are, each of us, asked to go through at this time. So what is that going on? What is the deeper reality is at this time, this day, today, of the examine of conscience, so that each of us goes a little bit deeper into himself or herself today to see what is there that Jesus wants and what is he want to do in me and through me and with me. That's the deeper issue. You see, each of us, when we finally get to heaven, is going to discover that's who I am. I am being transformed by the Holy Spirit, who is love itself. That each of us, when I was listening to Governor Cuomo yesterday, when I was listening to the president, each of those men are being transformed by the Holy Spirit, because they are baptized, one a Catholic, one a Protestant. They are baptized into Jesus, but they are eventually going to pass through death. And when they get to God, because this is what an examination of conscience really is, God is going to see, what of my son is in Cuomo? What of my son is in Donald Trump? It's not what you judge to be. It's what he, the Father, sees in them. And when I get there, it's not what you see of me. It's what he sees in me. And if we are not transformed, this is what we pray as Christians. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Let's push a pause button there. There was only love in heaven. If we're going to be in heaven, then we're all going to love as the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. And he wants now to do that in Donald Trump, and he wants to do that in Governor Cuomo. He wants to do that in me and you. And if you're a baptized Christian, that's what you have to live up to. Not what others think of you, but what the Father sees in you and what the Holy Spirit has done to transform me into him. What a bunch of dirtbags we all were to begin with. He is the only one, Jesus, who came into us. All of us today, every single human being who is faced with the virus and death can cry out, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy on me. Christ, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. The Trinity, have pity on me, because we're all pitiful. We are sinners. And when we have this magnificent opportunity, I may die with this. And I'm not sure, and I am not there yet, but I may. And it's coming up on me. And this is what I have to examine myself today. As I find myself, what do I have to look at with regard to the sick and the suffering who are out there today and depend on my prayers? And what do I have to do in order to maintain my health today? That is the distance that I have to have. And have I lived each day? Did I live this yesterday? And am I living today in that way? And I think the coronavirus as a pandemic, it's all over the world. I called down to South America. I was talking to people in Lebanon and in Italy. Well, it's all over. It's every place. And the fear is there, because if I can trust in him, this is going to bring me to a greater awareness, each of us, of the peace of Christ that I can have in my prayer and in my day and in this day that you and I have together, Chris. So I think this is such a great opportunity for us to examine ourselves. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, have mercy. Because your work, Holy Spirit, is so unfulfilled as yet in this soul, in this Christian soul that I am. John Esseff. And so the need I have to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, and the desire from the day I was baptized until now at 91, and in a couple of months I'll be 92, and I've been allowed to be here. And through these days and nights, and now I have this day, the only time that each of us has, and this is what an examination of conscience does to us, is now. In addressing that now, I have a certain amount of money that I have, a certain amount of things that I can do with it, and I am living. And what good am I doing today? And as each of us looks, I don't think any of us should be afraid that if we all of us who are truly Christian, would wake up and begin to see what we, the living, could do for one another here in this little planet. I was thinking, too, of the power of my prayer. When I heard the figure yesterday of those who died, does my prayer really have an effect? Certainly it does. Does my prayer have an effect for the sick and those who are suffering with the virus? Certainly it does. It's the same prayer that Jesus has. Do I have a prayer that do I recognize what his prayer really means in my heart as a Catholic priest? You know, in these days I have not been meeting with a lot of people who come to healing masses. But I know that I have laid hands on the sick and they have recovered, just like Jesus. And I know that there's been cures and healings and blessings and tumors. And well, what about this? Yes. And am I so afraid of the virus that I now kind of crumble in front of it? No. So my prayer is going to be very effective and very powerful against this virus. And so will it shorten it? Why not? What is the value of the prayer of Jesus? If we truly know who we are, I am a Catholic priest. I have a power to heal the sick. And I really have to use that more and more. And they may have to keep a distance of 6 feet, as I did yesterday on the porch when I absolved the man who came here. And I also, I want to touch the leper, and I will have the opportunity to lay hands on the sick and to anoint their bodies with oil. And if a person gets sick and I have to begin to see myself as confronting this virus with the power in me to heal that, And the power, now we've been told, you don't touch the sick or you become contagious yourself or a carrier. But I really believe that if I'm faced with that, that's what I am called to do. The doctors are called to be there for his body. What about we who are called to be there for him, for this person? We can't separate the body and the soul. He is someone that needs care, and he needs our prayer more than ever. And all of the people who have this virus, that we should pray, and that those prayers, will it hasten the time to get a vaccine for this? Absolutely, because Jesus is the power of the prayer. Jesus is the one who is going to pray and help the sick and the doctors and the nurses and the caretakers and all those people who are in hospitals and in harm's way. Jesus is in us, and we are going to be powerful against this virus. And we, like Jesus, we can heal. And if this is the leprosy of our time, and that's what caused the fear in so many of our ancestors, and now it's tamed. It's a virus like anything else, and it's been cured by modern, and so will we get a cure for this. And we will overcome, and we will confront this, and we will be united, hopefully, more deeply than we have before the coronavirus came along.
Yeah, I think that's our rallying cry, Christian. I mean, we have to not fear the terror that comes by night or the arrow that flies by day. We have to, Psalm 91, eagle's wings, we have to find our shelter there and believe and trust.
Yes.
Believe in your prayer, mother, father, priest, all of you, believe and trust in the gift that you've been given of your faith, and continue. Don't go towards that fear with Christ, and pray and believe that he, just like the man from in the pool of Bethesda, he waited and he cried out. If we cry out, Christ will come to us, won't he?
Yes, and not only that, but what I hear so much, and it's been voiced a lot, is it's kind of the American way. Well, that is in the sense that when we're challenged, we can pull together. There's a depth in us that we may seem kind of surfacey as the people, but we have a depth to us. And if there's something about being an American Christian, there's even a deeper sense of that it's not that it separates us from anyone, but it unites us more deeply with each other as Americans and with each other as the people of God, but also with each other as the people of Adam and Eve. All the people in the world. We don't care. The American has the heart of a people. And we have been noted for our love and our charity all over the world. And I believe this is another examination that we can have, that we can wake up and realize that we're not just for ourselves, but we are for everyone in the world. That a healthy, strong Christian American can be a healthy, strong child of Adam and Eve, and a healthy, strong child of God. That because of Jesus, who has been our strength and our life, I am the way and the truth and the life. Our country was founded on the Christian principles. And I believe that these are going to prevail and grow deeper through whatever this is that is now challenging us. We have come through many sufferings in the past that have caused us much anguish. We came through a very deep suffering in the Civil War, with the war that we had over racism. We are one family. We are now challenged with this new virus. It's the coronavirus. And we have overcome so many challenges in the past. And I believe as a Catholic, as a Christian, as an American, that we are very much up to the task. But we need to do an examination of conscience. And, you know, I don't want to examine the bishop's consciences because I have to examine myself as a priest. But I do know a theologian that says we do need to shape up as a church. And I encourage you bishops to examine your conscience. And I encourage you members of the Vatican to examine your conscience. That we can't point the finger to Orthodox and Protestants anymore. Are we the body of Christ? Are we the sign and the example of unity and love? Are we Jesus? Our brothers and our fellow Christians will recognize it if we are, that we want to be one body and one Christ.
Final thought, Monsignor?
I would like to just quote the Mass today. I'd like to quote Ezekiel. And that's when Ezekiel, in his talking about the water, Ezekiel 47, the angel brought me, Ezekiel, back to the entrance of the temple of the Lord. I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickle from the right side. Then, when he had walked off east with a measuring cord on his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and had me wade through the water, which was ankle deep. How far are you in the water? You've been baptized. He measured off 1,000 and once more had me wade through the water, which was knee deep. How far have you plunged into the water? Again, he measured off 1,000 and had me wade into the water to my waist. Once more, a measure of 1,000. And there was a river through which I could not wade, for the water had risen so high it had become a river that could not be crossed except by swimming. He asked me, "Have you seen this Son of Man?" Then he brought me to the bank of the river, where he had me sit. Along the bank of the river I saw very many trees on both sides. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district down the Arabah and empties into the sea. The salt water which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply can live, and there shall be abundant fish. For wherever the water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks, the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. The leaves shall not fade, nor the fruit fade and fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and God's going to take care of us, and for medicine, and we're going to be healed. God bless."
Thank you so much, Monsignor. Do you have a busy day today with people calling and stuff happening?
Yes, but I believe everything that I've heard about these podcasts of yours have been very positive.
Well, they're podcasts of yours.
Well, I wouldn't be on with you if you hadn't encouraged me.
Well, we're walking together.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Reflections by Monsignor John Essef, Lent 2020. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com, and in particular, please share this particular reflection with them during this difficult period in the life of the church and of the world. And join us next time for Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.